This is down to brass tacks. Now, look, people in this country are being pressured in so many different ways as a result of COVID. This person has written to say that it is with a heavy heart that I write this letter to you. I cannot eat, sleep, or concentrate. We had to put our father in a home that they've mentioned by name, but which I will not call, because we had no one to take care of him. He was suffering from dementia, and he started doing things that would harm him and that would destroy our home. My family and I would go to visit him every weekend, and we took little treats for him, which he obviously enjoyed. However, that's just a bit of background information to help you understand the situation and how much we miss him. 2 weeks ago, my family and I were told that we couldn't visit him anymore because one of the patients had contracted the coronavirus. This saddened us very much because we know how contagious the coronavirus is and all the symptoms associated with it, especially for the elderly. We were told that the patients were being separated to avoid the spread of the virus. We would call every day to inquire about his well-being. We were told that all of the patients were tested and all but three of them had contracted the virus. This devastated our family because we felt guilty for putting him in the home, even though we had no other alternative at the time. A few days later, it was discussed by the health officials via a conference on CDC that the government was taking control of the home. When this first happened, the people who owned the home, they've mentioned them by name, but I won't, were still allowed to stay at the home and would update the families on the progress of our loved ones via a WhatsApp chat. Sadly, says the writer, they say he was asked to leave and was given a number to call to inquire about the patients. I believe the he that he's talking about is the owner, one of the owners. He is no longer allowed to make contact with them to inquire about the patient's well-being because the phone is not answered. Due to this, he, the owner, cannot update the families about their loved ones. Now, in this climate, this person is writing to say that they understand that people who were patients at this particular home have subsequently died. Now, remember what's happening here. The absence of information creates a void, and that void is now being taken to a level where you are hearing that there have been deaths in the area. So they are saying that they haven't heard anything about these deaths in the media, but even somebody who has been working at the establishment has given them information to the effect that there have been deaths as a consequence. So the writer says that after 2 weeks of having the coronavirus and being isolated or quarantined, they feel that their father should have been removed from the other patients and taken to another location away from infected patients or be allowed to go home. Here's what they continue to say. My family and I are willing to bring him home because we do not like the present situation. We will find a practical solution to facilitate his care. We are hurt, frustrated, angry, and disappointed with the authorities for subjecting our families to this blatant disrespect and torture. May, they say, it is not fair to us, and we cannot continue to live as though everything is normal, because it really is not. My mother cannot eat, sleep, or function properly. She is very uncomfortable, and I fear that I may not lose my father, not only lose my father, but also my mother. These are real experiences that people are enduring in this country today. There are many people who have loved ones that have had to be isolated and stuff. And it's very, very, very hard for those people to get any information on what is happening to their loved ones. And this particular letter here exposes exactly that kind of problem that needs to be addressed. I know it's tough on all concerned. I recognize that. But whatever can be done to improve that flow of information, especially from patients and from their caregivers to the people who are their families, much more needs to be done in this crisis to help those people out. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, David.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah. Oh, how are you doing, man?
I'm okay, and you?
Yeah, I'm hanging in. It's very, very touching, very sad when you could hear these types of things like the one you just read. And something was said on the program this morning that I would like to elaborate on, really, when person called and said that this is about 10 days that they're registered to be vaccinated, and up to now, they may hear nothing. I have also made contact with the authorities to get two people vaccinated, and we didn't get any replies yet. And I was wondering, David, what role is the individual parliamentarians in the government plan to help to alleviate some of the problems that these people are facing? And I will tell you why. I believe that mobile units could be utilized, because in the first instance, they said that they already want the old people to be out and about. So since you got certain information about the ages of your constituents, why then could you organize something, even if you put that the centers or the schools that ain't operating right now, and give them hours in which they could come and get vaccinated instead of overwhelming, because I know it has to be an overwhelming situation at the polyclinics. You wouldn't think something, David, like that could help alleviate some of these problems that these older people are facing?
I would expect that it might have been considered, but then you have to look at the resources. The authorities are in a better position to explain what the difficulties may be in that regard, or whether it is something that has been contemplated and may be coming later. I don't know. I mean, but I would be surprised if that had not been entertained and discussed. I would think that all options would have been explored.
But I sincerely believe that this is an option which the government, even the parliamentarians or the respective constituents, sincerely say, listen, okay, I know I got 180 people, 300 people, whatever. Let me set up something in whatever school, whatever, and let me get the hours from 7 to 9, or X amount, from 11 to 1, X amount, from 3 to 5, X amount. And I think that will help eradicate a lot of the problems that we face, you know, because, mind you, I believe they've just brought in some retired nurses and whatever and things to help with this pandemic. And these people could be utilized, but I say, there's no real special skill in getting this vaccine. So I believe that is something that needs to work, and I believe that the representatives in the area do not sit down and wait. Do not sit down and wait. The health authorities got protocols, but you have a obligation to see that your people are well taken care of. And some of you all got to get up and organize these things, put these things on the table at cabinet or whatever, and get certain things done. Because it's 12 days that old lady worked, the other lady, and the son, they sent you back to another clinic, and vice versa all the time. And these things are not good for the elderly. And if we really say that the elderly, they're showing your ads on the TV about how the elderly to stay at home and we to protect the elderly, this is one of the ways I believe that we need to get up and get the representatives to push these type of things and see how far we can get with it. David, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right, right. That's about all. All I want to say, I wish you all the best. I know your brother for a long time, and I hope they make you strong. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you very much. Don DeBrasca. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Crystal, didn't get to me yet?
You get to you now, though. You're on the air.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I have two queries, more or less. My first one is seeing a lot of the private doctors and private clinics, they have nurses that work with them. Couldn't some of the vaccines be allotted to them? Yes, record keeping is happening at the polyclinic, so it would happen at the doctor's office. So we would know if we gave them 50 vaccinations, then we expect 50 of their patients would receive the vaccination. And they have records to the ages and the NCDs of their patients, and they can call in the persons by appointment. Because my point is, when the country reopens in full, hopefully from May 1st, what's going to happen with the persons who are next in line, who are within the working age, that is 18 to 69? How are they going to go to the polyclinics and still look after their work obligations? I think there'll be a challenge there. That's one point. And
but before you go on to the other point, someone has written here to say that as far as they are aware, private doctors have asked to give the vaccines from their practices, but this has been denied. The Ministry of Health would have to explain what its policy is in relation to this, because it is quite possible that the ministry may be adopting this particular position in relation to the first 100,000 vaccines, the 50,000 people who are supposed to be vaccinated in this period. It may well have a different approach later, I don't know. So they have to say why it is that they have decided to go with this approach and leave out the private doctors at this point. I'm hearing this for the first time.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't aware of that. It was just a thought, because I know back then I used the private doctor because of work commitments for my daughter's vaccination. Because of
not for COVID.
Not for COVID. No, like when she was a baby, you know.
Right. So I'm unaware of COVID being the vaccination being done at the private level. So I think it's a relevant question when it comes to asking the Ministry of Health or the government whether this has been entertained, and if it has been turned down, why would they have turned it down?
Because if we think it is bad now, wait until the 18 to 69-year-olds make their appointments and yet have work commitments when the country reopens from the 1st of March. Anyhow, my next point is it is said that if you are COVID positive, you will not receive the vaccination. But how do we, and again, it is only when you present symptoms that the rapid test is relevant. So a person is showing up at the polyclinic, seeing there's community spread, I am wondering, how do we know these persons are not COVID positive before they receive their vaccination? And this, you can answer this, but what would be the implications if there are?
as you know, you were correct. On both counts, if you haven't had a vaccine, if you haven't had a test and gotten the result of that test, you wouldn't know. I am not aware that they're doing rapid tests prior to giving people vaccines. But I don't know, perhaps they may be doing it. I'm unaware, but you know, there are so many questions that when you sit down here on a daily basis with this COVID thing, there are so many questions that come up. And from where I sit, I can only compare this with what happened last year. We have a communications unit, right? Uh-huh. And the communications unit, it seems as though it spends a lot of the time dealing with setting up the news conferences and stuff in the evenings. But I must say that there's got to be some scope for being able to get people to give updates during the course of the day and to respond to people's queries. With all that we have with the unit right now, I think that last year, from where I sit, you were able to get the answers to some of these questions during the course of the day, while at the same time responding to the need to answer questions later in the day as well. And if you look at how there's a structure that has been brought to these news conferences in the evening that does not necessarily allow you to answer these types of questions. It's a different kind of approach. So I can only appeal to the authorities to say, look, consider giving some attention to this particular approach of giving information. And you know, it isn't everything that you got to do by coming on the air. But you can also send notes and that sort of thing. But some attention needs to be paid to this aspect of it, because it's like these everyday nuts and bolts issues that people have to be dealing with. And it's new to all of us. So I can only say what my experience has been, and I hope that, you know, we can get some kind of action in that regard.
Okay. I thank you for your time, and know that you and your family and my prayers.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Yes, Miss Alice.
Yes, hi.
How does the testing work? Like, how do you grab an instamatic camera?
I don't understand what you're asking me. What testing kits and what cameras and all of that?
I mean, it should be improved. I mean, it gets the amount of results too late. I mean, it should be fastly done.
I'm trying to. I can't hear you clearly. Speak up so that I can better understand what you're asking or saying.
How long do the results come out? Have you taken a test? How long you have to?
Well, you know, don't forget, we have problems with that. The government says that they're now up to date. I would expect that you would be able to get your test back within the recommended 48 hours. I can't say with any degree of certainty whether that is happening at this stage. But initially, that was the objective. But because the testing started to, the whole lab had problems and that sort of thing, we were in a situation where people have gone for several weeks without hearing, getting their results.
I mean, cause the problem is the same spreading, because it's taking too long. Some people might have the virus. And
that's correct.
And they're mixing up with the community again, so that might be one of the reasons why.
Yes. Yes, and that has been part of the problem that Barbados is facing. Once the testing was failing, then there were too many people walking about and doing their business who were positive and were unaware that they were. So once we correct that, we should hopefully be in a position to reduce the spread going forward. But it is likely that you will still be in some kind of an upsurge before you can reach a plateau and then come back down.
So referring to the seek and save, I thought it was testing door to door population.
I don't know that they were testing door to door. That wasn't what seek and save was about. Seek and save was to establish whether people were showing symptoms and to encourage those people to go and get medical attention. I don't recall it being a place, a source of rapid testing or anything like that.
But you know, Beijing already, some people might decline not to give the information, and that will cause some problems again. Because when you start, people are saying that they're letting in these people and things and that. So some people might withhold information too.
You know, that's true. It's possible that they might have withheld information, but you got to bear in mind the danger associated with doing that, you know.
Yeah.
At the core, if you are positive and you stay in a home with other people, you are likely to pass it on to the people in the home. If you go to the supermarket or the pharmacy or the hardware or the gas station, if you're not properly clad, and if you don't practice this physical distancing and you don't have on the mask and all of that, you also run the risk of infecting somebody else. So it's a question of trying to be as responsible as possible. And in all of this, you never know who that someone else is going to be. I mean, you pass it on to a healthy young person, but then that healthy young person makes contact with a person who got the much vaunted comorbidities that the authorities like to remind us about, that the people who died of comorbidities or had underlying factors and that sort of thing. So you got to be careful with that, huh?
So that means they got but more tactical measures now with lockdown instead of locking down people, then they got to go more further into communities and see where the hot spots are. So
we've had a lot of that already, you know. This is not, this issue of spread is not futuristic. It is here. We are already in the midst of it. Okay? Thanks for calling. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, the care packages in Black Rock, Cleveland, and other areas, we ain't getting none. And it's about 3 weeks now into the distribution. So,
you called your MP?
Well, no.
But you should.
I don't know what's going on there, though, anyway.
You should call your MP and see if you can get some assistance in that regard. All right, well, we're going to the latest news, and then we come back to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, and welcome to the continuation of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. As it relates to the letter which was sent to me by the person who said that they and their family have been going through so much anguish because they had a relative at a nursing home, a private nursing home, and they can get very little information. I'm told that the owner of the home is briefed daily at 9 a.m. about their elderly clients. So somewhere in there, the person who wrote this particular letter is saying that there's something is missing because they are left in a state of what they've called torture because they don't have enough information. So I hope that can be addressed.